The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, April 22, 2018, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. What a beautiful day it is. 22 April. What a beautiful day it is. For today is truly a day that the Lord has given us. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving, and merciful God, humbly we come before you today, thanking you for every good gift and grace, thanking you for your mercies in our lives, thanking you for the blessings in our lives, thanking you sometimes for even the struggles, for then we need to rely on you even more. Thank you. And now we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Bible reading for today is taken from 1 John 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before him, whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Go with me down to verse 21 because we need to fix a word real quick because it'll make more sense of the scripture text and I hope it'll help in the context of the message. If your Bible in verse 21 reads boldness, as does the scripture reading from the New Revised Standard Version this morning, please change that to confidence. If it says boldness, kind of put a little note out there somewhere that instead of boldness that it should read confidence before God. Confidence before God. Now, on face value, this scripture is pretty straightforward. John is the writer of it, the same one that is the writer of the Gospel of John and the other little Johns that go along with this one. And the focus of 1 John and the focus, I would contend, of everything John writes is love. John writes about love. Now, we've got that famous passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows it's the love chapter. But John, I think, gets at it in a different way. I think he gets at real love, and he shows us what that is, and he kind of doesn't leave us hanging. In this passage, he explains what it is. And the message title today is Love in Deed, in Action, not just words. But so often, we have come in our society to see love as a word. So often it's just kind of tossed around and thrown around. And Ethel was sharing with us in Sunday school about this guy that it didn't matter who he was talking to on the phone. He always ended it with, I love you. It's sort of like saying goodbye or I'm hanging up now or we're finished. It was just kind of thrown out there. And I think that we in our culture today just kind of toss it out. Sometimes I think we say it just so that we get it out of the way. Or sometimes if we could say it, then we will, you know, not feel guilty if something happens, you know. It's kind of like that let us off the hook thing. We got it said, it's out there. But I think that God would call us to a little different kind of love. A little different kind of love. So let us look at this and see what John tells us in this brief passage this morning about love. We know love by this. Now John's going to tell us what love is, right? This is how we know love. This is how we experience love. This is how we know love. And in that we see Christ. Christ, who laid down his life for us. Well, Pastor, we know he died for us. I'm talking about more than that. Number one, he didn't have to. He didn't have to leave the throne room of God. He did not need to leave a place of peace. He didn't need to leave a place where there was no pain. He didn't need to leave a place where there were no tears. He didn't need to leave a place where no one hated each other. He didn't need to leave a place where there was harmony all the time. He didn't need to leave a place where there was praise and worship around the throne of God. He didn't need to leave his Father's presence. He didn't need to. But he did. You see, he laid his glory down. He stepped out of the presence of God and into the body of a baby boy. Not born in a palace, mind you. Not born to rich parents, mind you. But to a carpenter and a young girl in a manger. He left all of that behind to now know cold and hot. Love and disrespect. To learn and know the tiredness of the day. and the dust of the road. To say to those who wanted to follow him, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but I don't have anywhere to lay my head. He left all of that behind to see the very people he came to offer salvation to reject him. He left all of that harmony behind to have disciples grumble about who would be on his right and left. He left all of that behind to be betrayed, to be beaten, to be cursed, to be spat upon, to have his beard plucked, to be beaten with a rod, a crown of thorns thrust upon his head, and nailed between two thieves on a cross. This is how we know love, John says, in that he laid down his life even to the giving of it in the crucifixion on the cross. Sometimes we only think of Christ laying down his life as that sacrifice of the cross. But let us not forget from where he came. Yet he came. God sent his Son. Out of God's love, Jesus came. Out of God's love, Jesus laid down his life for us, each and every one of us. In this, John says, we know life. And then he says, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? This isn't speaking of somebody down at Walmart with a little sign. This is talking about the people you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Those people who are on the journey with you. But there's a problem. Sometimes we don't tell anybody that we have a need. Because we want to cowboy up, right? We don't want people to think we're weak. So we suffer. We go through trial and we go through tribulation. And I would contend most of the time unnecessarily because pride gets in the way. Because we won't lay down our life enough to let someone help us along the way. And then the burden's on us if we refuse to help. Well, Pastor, I don't have a lot of money. It isn't always money. Sometimes the greatest gift you can give somebody is your time. To put your agenda aside for a little while and spend a little time. My grandmother called it the power of presence. Being there. Taking that extra few minutes. Slowing down, putting things away, taking time to be there. I am the world's worst to get busy, and I don't have a lot of attention deficit disorder. When I get busy at something, I'm pretty focused, sometimes to the point that I ignore the other things. How many of you else does that? Does anybody else get kind of sort of tunnel visioned into getting there and getting it done, getting it? I like to check my list off. How many of you like to check your list off? Nobody? How many of you like to put your list off instead of checking it off? There we go. That's where some of us are. Maybe some of us need to not do that so much. The procrastination monster can get you, I promise. I've learned as a pastor, you better get it done because the phone's going to ring when you least expect it, and you're going to have to go do something in the middle of wherever and whatever. How many of you have been in college? Anybody been in college? Did you learn early, read quickly? Because you get behind even faster, right, if you miss something. So he says to us, we should help one another. But folks, we need to be vulnerable enough to admit we need it. We need to be real enough and trust our friends and family enough to say to them, I'm struggling. Have you got a minute? Could you come over? Could you drop by? It's okay to say to people that are supposed to love you that you need a little help, that you're in the struggle, that you're in a bind, that you're kind of, you just need something. You need somebody. You know what I found out? Most of the time, it ain't money they need. It's a helping hand, an open ear with a zipped lip. Sometimes, just to listen. Little children, oh my goodness, little children. How many of you enjoy just being called little children? It's kind of nice, isn't it? I mean, honest and truly, I haven't been asked for an ID in so long. You know, they just look at this face and say, hey, that's wore out two bodies. It's bound to be at least 100. You know, just look at that. The miles on there. You know, it's over the top. You're not asking. You know, he probably was before ID. Yeah, you know, he's older than dust. You know, just the way it is. Anyway, it's okay. So little children, Jesus would teach, and John's remembering all these things that Jesus taught. And he says, unless we become like a little child, we can't see or inherit the kingdom of God. And we need to be like little children when it comes to our faith, just soaking him in. How many of you have held a baby lately? Anybody? Have you ever held one, maybe? Now, I might get on somebody's toes a little bit here, but I've been known to do that. If you have tried to parent children by Dr. Spock's recipe, you messed up. That guy didn't have an idea what to do. You cannot spoil a baby. You can spoil a three-year-old. They'll rule the roost if you're not careful. But you can't hold a baby too much. Contrary, science has now proven that if you don't hold the baby, it may go the wrong way in life. Have you read that statistic? I mean, just think about it for a minute, just a little common sense. That little guy's been hanging out in this nice warm place for 9 months. He's been snuggled right in there, she's been snuggled, and listening to mommy's heartbeat. I often wondered if babies could get indigestion when you have a little something spicy. You know, I don't know. But it's been in there for 9 months, safe and secure and just close, and it's hearing. By the way, they do hear in the womb, and it's hearing, it's experiencing, and music, they say, is so good, and they tell you now to rub and touch and do all that stuff, right? So that baby, and you take it out of there, stick it in a crib and forget it? Can that be good? No. Hold that baby like a little child, unless we are like a child and receive God's embrace and God's love and come to him in truth and admit that like a child, we don't have the answers. And like a child, we need him to wrap his arms around us. Little children, John says. Little children. That's who we are, and that's what we are in God. Little children, how many of you have got all of the answers? That would mean you're not a child, you're a teenager. I love that thing somebody said, wrote in, can't remember where I saw it. It said, now that you're a teenager and you know everything and you got everything right, move out and see how it works. You know, move out on your own dime and see how it works. Most of the time they'll ricochet, but sometimes it sticks. Little children, let us love. This is the heart of what I've got to say today. This verse 18, little children. Number one, little children. Have you ever just noticed as you hold that little guy or gal? Number one, you should bite their feet. Does anybody else bite babies' feet? You're not going to admit it in church, are you? Are they just not the cutest little things in the world, them little hands and feet? I remember holding mine, and you know, my youngest one's with us this morning. And, you know, it's been a long time, but I still remember. how precious it was. Could you imagine that if we feel that, how much more God feels for us? Have you thought about that? You know, keep the toe jam out. You know, keep the toe jam out. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech. Words are cheap, aren't they? The proof's in the pudding, right? But in truth and action, two things. Truth. Remember, John is remembering the words of Jesus. He recorded this for us in 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and life. That we love, as we're talking about, in Christ, in our relationship with Christ, and in truth, number one, that we need a Savior. It begins in that relationship with Jesus Christ, and the truth shall set us free. And the truth is we mess up. The truth is we don't always get it right. The truth is sometimes we don't hold when we should, and we release when we should hold, and we mess it up and we get it wrong. But in truth, we need to admit those things. But in truth, and need to love as we've been loved. Truth and action. How did Jesus love us? Did he send a note? Did he pick a Hallmark card? Pretty poem. Did he write it in the sky in the clouds and say, I love you all? No. He came down here and walked among us. And experienced life just as we do, with his faults, with his failures. He loved us in action, didn't he? And from the cross he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. If we could have only known in that time and place, if they would have only realized that they were crucifying love embodied, oh my. But we are to love in truth and action. Don't say it if you can't show it. Don't say it if you can't show it. Well, Pastor, how many of you are not a lovey-dovey, huggy person? At least Brent will say it. Carrie will tell you, I'm horrible at that romantic stuff. If I pick you out a bouquet of flowers, there's likely to be the worst looking weeds that you've ever seen. I'll guarantee you that the lily won't bloom that I buy. It'll turn black and just lay over. It's done. I'm telling you the truth. I'll pick out the wrong kind of candy. You'll probably break out in hives, have some kind of allergic. It's just not there. You know, and I can't think of these romantic things like... I can't even think right now of a romantic place to go to dinner. Some of you guys and gals out there thinking, I got this thing. Yeah, I got this. Not me. I go down to the florist and I can't get a good arrangement of flowers. I ordered some online. They guaranteed. Not doing that again. Even the second set didn't work. So, you know, I'm not. Maggie will tell you, I'm not the biggest hugger person, you know. I just kind of, you know, hi, how are you? You know, this is kind of good enough. That's close enough. But I've had to learn over the years that it isn't that I get it right, but that I try it. Because you know what? It isn't the thought that counts. It's the acting on the thought that counts. Even if you get it wrong. Even a wilted or don't bloom bouquet of flowers delivered is better than flowers promised and not given. Do you see the difference? It is not the thought that counts. Throw that one out. It's the deed that counts. Thoughts and promises are a dime a dozen. Everybody's got them. And now he says, and by this we will know that we are from truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. This one's important. Underline this. Folks, you need to underline this because this is where the devil can get in. The devil will doubt your affections. The devil will try to doubt your love. He'll try to put in and deceive you, and this is when he'll show up. You need to understand, John's going to say that in Christ Jesus there is no, Paul says, that in Christ Jesus there is no condemnation. We have been forgiven. Don't let the devil get in there and say, well, you messed up on June 17th, 1984, and I remember it was 9 o'clock, and you shouldn't have been in that bar where you were, and you shouldn't have been wherever you were, and you shouldn't have thought where, and he's going to show up. He's going to say, you did give them flowers, but they died. He's going to say, well, you did buy those chocolates, and they had to go to the emergency room. You know, he's going to show up and tell you all about what mistakes you made. Yeah, please find out if the person has a nut allergy before you buy them candy. It's important, believe me. It's important. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. For God is greater than our hearts, our mistakes, our sins, our faults, our failures. How many of you ever felt like you disappointed God? Anybody feel like you disappoint God? How in the world are you going to disappoint somebody that already knows what you're going to do? Tell me. That's the devil whispering a lie to you. You don't disappoint God. Because he knew you was going to mess up. And he's standing right there beside you. You're going to get that in just a minute. He's right there when you do mess up. Do not let the devil tell you and convince you that you have ever disappointed God. That makes God this big instead of big enough to handle us. God loves us. God redeems us. God is with us. Now, that shouldn't give us the excuse just to live any old way. That should challenge us to try to do better in every day. So he goes on and he says, he's greater than us. And now, because if our hearts do not condemn us, we've given over to God. He's centered. He's focused. We have confidence before God. And we receive from him whatever we ask because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. Folks, if you pray anything in the will of God, it'll be answered. But it's got to be in the will of God. Not in yours. Not in your neighbor's. Not in their best interest or worse. Be careful what you pray for, by the way. Be careful. But it's in the will of God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus. That's where it starts. And love one another as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandment and abide in him, he abides in them. You're not alone. All of this stuff is hard. All of this stuff is difficult. All of this stuff is maybe beyond what we can kind of wrap our minds around. But we don't have to worry that that's the way it is because he is with us to help us. And notice the last thing he says, and by this we know. How many of us have ever wondered if we've got it? How many of us have ever wondered, am I truly saved? Have we wondered if I've got it? You know, it's not very far physically from here and knowing of Jesus to here and believing in Jesus. But sometimes it takes a long time for it to trickle down. You know, it takes a little while to get there. It takes a little while to go from thinking about Jesus to trusting in Jesus. And it takes a long time to take from this conception into this application of our hearts and lives. And even after it gets down here, we struggle some. So how do we know, Pastor? How do I know? Because you look at the gift of the Spirit that he's given you. What does that look like? This is what it looks like. Closing. This is what it looks like. Have you ever felt that you should call somebody just out of the blue that you've not even thought of in maybe years? And you obeyed that thought and you gave them that call. And you found out later that they really needed that call. Or maybe you felt like you should visit somebody, call on them, check on them. And you did. And it was good and it was wonderful. It's just what was needed. And the flip side of that is, have you ever failed to call and was convicted of it? Failed to visit and was convicted of it? Have you ever found peace in a situation that normal people would have fell apart in? Have you ever found yourself having to be somebody's strength and support when you yourself was falling apart? Have you ever been in a situation and the words came and you couldn't explain where they came from? And they were encouraging and helpful, lifting up? Or maybe the words that we wanted to say didn't come. What kept you from saying them? Maybe you were in a situation where normally your patience would evaporate, but this time they held true. Anytime, here's the key, anytime that you do something or something is done by you or through you that isn't typically possible, that's God at work. That's God at work. Not your strength, not your stuff. You didn't. That's God at work in you. That's the work of the Spirit in you. That's the assurance that God is in you. It's when you do things and experience things that are greater than who you are. That's the work of the Spirit. You have a peace that surpasses understanding. When you have a faith that is secure. When the Word comes alive, when the Word comes from your lips and you don't know where it came from. So today the call is that we love in truth and action, not just in word, but in deed. And James will say, faith without works is no faith at all. Love without action is just words. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, as we come to this time and end of the service, maybe among us are those who struggle with what love is, true love, not infatuation, but a love that endures the test of time, that begins in our love for you. Father, among us, we may be questioning our faith, our love. Let's not let the devil get in there today. For you have loved us, and we accept that love. We know, Father, that you see us as the greatest gift to be loved, the pinnacle of your work. And even though we aren't perfect, you love us anyway. And Father, may you give us the strength to love and forgive others, to turn loose of things we can't change, to forgive the things that we may never receive I'm sorry for, to let go and to travel a little lighter. Hear our hearts today, that we may love in truth and action. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May we go to know that we have been loved in action, indeed. May we go to love in truth and actions as well. And may God grant you grace and peace to serve, to find peace, and to share that peace in the world around you through truth and love. And truly, may God's love that surpasses all understanding make in you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And may we go now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.